Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, the message that I'm going to preach, I've taken from this Jewish Chronicles, in case some of you think this is a childish little word that we use to play around, abacadabra. But apparently, it came from this little Hebrew phrase. If you notice, the word abra is actually the combination of three words in Hebrew referring to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then abacadabra, it just speaks a lot about, it's about something that appears, which simply means in the Aramaic word, abracadabra, it means it will be created in my words. That's the original understanding. It will be created in my words. A lot of scholars have supported this Hebrew etymology, saying that this abracadabra has been placed under certain corruption of the Hebrew. The actual word is actually abracadabri. Simply mean, I will create as I speak. How many of you know when God speaks, He creates? Somebody say amen. When God speaks, He creates. And I have been just a mouthpiece of God's words. And I pray that every word that I uttered will be a blessing to you. Somebody say amen. That's why we always said, if you hear the word of God and you know that it is so applicable and is so relevant and is so powerful within your spirit, let us learn to give praise. Somebody say amen. If you believe that, give Him praise right now in the name of Jesus. So I want to read that Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 10. And the scripture that I put up on the slides, and I'm going to read, and it's a long passage, but bear with me because the whole entire situation is going to help me to relate to you pertaining to these words that it should happen in your life. Let me read verse 1 right up to verse 10. Everybody who is ready, say amen. Amen. Let's have the reverence of God's word here. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me, Ezekiel is talking by the way, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw the great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, You alone know." That's a smart thing to say when the Lord said, "Can that person survive?" Only God knows. Amen. Only God knows. And look at verse 4. Then He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7 says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." Did you hear that? He spoke as He was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. If this thing really happened in front of your eyes, I think most of us would run away, right? It's a zombie, that's what we understand. Verse 9 says, "Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come, breath from the four winds and breathe into this slain that they may live." So I prophesied as He commanded me again. I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Father, reveal Your word as a revelation to Your children. in Jesus' name. We begin to see the birth of Ezekiel's vision that took place while Israelites were still in exile in Babylon. This prophecy, or rather Ezekiel's prophecy, foresaw the return of the nation of Israel. Behind, look into the next line, behind the vision in Ezekiel 37, we notice these deported people that were supposed to be to return. They were lamenting. And these are the words that say that in verse 11, as we did not read, but it's just the words after verse 10. They said this: our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Bear in mind, Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the bones is very poetic and also prophetic in response to the situation of God's people. Because they were crying out in hopelessness. They were crying out because they were cut off from the land. And when you are cut off from the land, especially in the nation of Israel, you are also cut off from the temple. And when you're cut off from the temple, you are cut off from the presence of God. The meaning behind this vision is this. Ezekiel's vision is the prophetic message of deliverance. But if you look into the details, especially in verse 12 and verse 4, subsequent to verse 11, you will notice God is saying, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. Somebody say amen. Now, this particular vision tells me very clearly that the dry bones have been restored to living people. It's just as much as the message is telling us that the promise of God's Spirit was to reach out and bring the people of Israel back from exile. This reminds me also that God said, I will bring the church up out of their grave and make it glorious, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Jesus says this word in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is such a powerful passage. And this morning I really want to take you along and understand these words very clearly for our everyday life. Notice there is a spiritual component of life inside the prophecy. When God put His Spirit within His people, He not only bring them back to life, but there is a word that He will restore them back to the land. You see, one of the greatest joy in my heart is when I read this. There is such a connection of the Spirit of God with my spirit. When God began to restore you into that life, it simply means that Ezekiel is saying that the nation of Israel, you will be a new nation. You will be a new group of people. And I see the truth applies to all of us. When you have the Spirit of God placed in you, you cannot be an old person. You can never be having an old nature. You've got to be a new person with a new heart, with a new desire. That's when I understand what it means to have the Spirit of God. You can go around and say, I don't like the person, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like the pastor. You don't have the Spirit of God, because when you have the Spirit of God, you will always be a new person. But notice that Ezekiel 37 was spoken in such a manner in reflection of Ezekiel 36. And I want you to see Ezekiel 36. It says this word in verse 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and what? And move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Ezekiel 36 tells me that God put His Spirit into the nation so that they may obey the Lord. They may obey the decree. They may obey the word. When God put His Spirit in Ezekiel 37, it was different. It was meant to restore them back to the land. We see two different moves of the Spirit of God. One's to prepare them to obey the word. The other one was to restore them back to their land. It is the same Spirit that God is speaking. So in view of that perspective of what the Spirit of God is going to do, I'm going to focus very strongly on verse 1. Look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Notice now that God is transporting Ezekiel into that vision. He wants Ezekiel to see something. In order for Ezekiel to see something, I noticed abracadabra begin to happen. How did this abracadabra happen? How does He create by His words? How does He create by His words? And right at the onset, He says, the hand of the Lord was on me. This is a very important truth for you and for me. It is better for you to understand the hand of the Lord. There are many scriptures that we see oftentimes, and we tend to miss those things out. The book of Acts says the hand of the Lord was upon them, and there was a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord. It was the hand of the Lord. But there is one passage that I was captivated in regards to the hand of God. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in verse 9 to 10. And I'm going to read to you very popular verse for many preachers in the past. And this is what the Bible says. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. How about that? You call your son Jabez because you bore him in pain. I think a lot of us were not told some of the background behind those verses. And we misconstrued them, and we talk about Jabez's blessing more than understanding why that blessing was articulated. You see, according to the history of that background, if you read 1 Chronicles 4, it is a very strange chapter. Every section of it is all about genealogy. Beget here, beget there, beget here, and beget. And all of a sudden, in verse 9, it changes. Verse 9, he began to say about Jabez. Nothing about his father. Nothing at all. Why? Scholars believe very strongly that there is a possibility that his father's name was not recorded because he could be an irresponsible father. He has actually caused the family to lose all the property. He lived in a shameful way. And perhaps he has come to a point that his own early children are also living in crises or in a very bad shape. That is why the Bible says that he is more honorable than his brothers. So his brothers could be a pain in the back. And you know what the mother said to him? Because I bore him in pain. Now, how many of you know that every mother give birth to a child will always bore in pain, right? But this has nothing to do with giving birth. This boring in pain, it could be during the time when her husband has lost everything. He was in a difficult state. They have lost their reputation. She was bearing a child during that moment of time. And that's why she called him Jabez. I bore you in pain. I bore you in the time where you don't even have a good reputation in the culture, in the state of community. You have lost all the property. Your father is irresponsible. So that could be one reason. And then verse 10 says, Jabez called on God and of Israel. And this is the famous passage where many preachers would preach. They said, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Wonderful word. But this is not a selfish prayer. You know, if you read according to the Hebrew word, when he said, oh Lord, that you would bless me, he's saying to the Lord, I want to come back to have the personal relationship with you, because the word blessing speaks about that personal time and relationship with God that his father did not have, that his brothers did not have. And he's praying, God, bless me. And then he says, enlarge my territory. We don't have properties. Properties have been taken away. Now we are nothing, left with nothing. He said, Lord, enlarge my territory. And he says, your hand will be with me. You will keep me from evil. And then he says, that I may not cause pain. Lord, may your hand be upon me, that I may be a blessing to others. I will not cause pain. And you know what the Bible says? So God granted him what he requested. A lot of us, we take this as a prosperity message. You see, God doesn't grant prosperity message. God grant because of his predicament and his situation. We oftentimes have all these uncertainties of our future. We feel this way at times, just like Jabez. You know, we do not know what is coming down upon our lives. We do not know what is ahead of us. But at the same time, though it may be unexpected, it may be something that we are uncertain of, but we can be rest assured, the Lord is with us. Jabez said that, your hand would be with me. And we see many other scriptures and passages, like the book of Joshua chapter 4, the hand of the Lord is powerful, that open up the Red Sea and open up River Jordan. The hand of the Lord demonstrated that miraculous work. Brothers and sisters, at the very beginning of your life and as a Christian, just as Ezekiel, right at the beginning, the hand of the Lord was upon me. We need the hand of God to empower us. We need the hand of God to protect, to preserve, to provide. We need the hand of God to lead us, to train us, and shape us. Just like Jabez's case, the hand of the Lord restored Jabez. He said he granted his request. Jabez was restored back to the cultural status. His father's reputation was once gone, but now it has been restored unto him into a position of honor. The hand of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is always the sign and the evidence of God's blessing. Isaiah 48 tells us very clearly, my own hand laid the foundation of the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens. The creation is also fashioned by the hand of God. The hand of God is a sign for you and for me. I want to see God's hand. I want to see God's hand upon our lives. I want to see God's hand upon our family. Because when the hand of the Lord is upon us, we are saved. He becomes our refuge. He becomes our shelter. Because his hand is upon us. That's why those of you who study the book of Peter, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. Arrogance won't go far, but humility will. We need to begin with the hand of God. Look at the next one. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Ezekiel is revealing to us that we must always be cooperating with the Spirit of God. We must not walk in the opposite direction. When the Spirit of God says yay, it has to be yay. When the Spirit of God does this, it has to be an amen, then walk according to the amen. You see, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord has a great intention over our lives. He wants to reveal His intent in your heart and in your mind. He wants to direct your path. He wants to show you what is closed and what is open. Because the Spirit of the Lord is able to unravel. The Bible tells me He took what's from the Father and reveals to you. We oftentimes go about with our feelings, our emotions, and most of the time we fail. Sometimes we walk according to our flesh, according to our logical flesh, according to some of our irrational thoughts. And then we begin to fail. But the Lord says we work and walk in the Spirit of God. Paul says, walk in the Spirit of God. It's so important that we learn to cooperate. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, I'll tell you what. It simply means the same Spirit that was upon Jesus. Somebody say amen. You see, Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says this word. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. You see, the Spirit of the Lord is able to do great and mighty works. That same Spirit, the Bible tells me, is upon us. Are you there with me? It's upon us. Because the Spirit of the Lord is where we have our life. The Spirit of the Lord is where we have our being. This Spirit of the Lord is where we conduct our everyday life. The same Spirit that has come upon Jesus and said, anointed me. I believe the anointing is here. Amen. I believe the anointing is here. The Spirit of the Lord, somehow with the anointing that came upon us or come upon us, is going to take you to a place where He wants to unfold His revelation. Do you know when the Spirit of the Lord leads you, He doesn't lead you blindly. He leads you to a place where He wants you to see His revelation. Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit of the Lord. Just like Apostle John, when he was in the island of Patmos, he was taken into the vision to see what happened in the last days. Paul acutely says that he was very much aware that there will be difficulties in his journey to Jerusalem, because the Spirit of the Lord has already warned him and says there's going to be a lot of trouble. But then he said this, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race. I know I will go through the danger. I know, because the Spirit of the Lord already unfolded the revelation. I'm not going to have a great time. I'm not going to have a time for clubbing. The Spirit of the Lord is going to take us to a place where you can experience the living power of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is going to take us to a place where He will unravel His purpose and His plans, so that when we walk according to His ways, we walk according to His plans. He wants to reveal to us something. Are you ready for that revelation? You see, Billy Graham says these words, and I want to quote what he said. The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, make us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. I like that part where he says, take spiritual truth and make it understandable to us. You see, the Spirit of God wants to take you to a place where you can understand His truth. And what happened was this. The Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel, went up to a place we call the valley. And that valley is so full of dry bones. That valley is so full of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me. He placed me in the valley. The Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel in this very eccentric tour, very strange tour. Place him in the middle of the valley. He didn't place him right on the mountain. He didn't place him anywhere else that he can see the goodness of God. But he placed him right in the middle of the valley, brothers and sisters. Sometimes God places you in a situation to crush you, to prune you, to work in your life until you are changed. That's what God does. He put him in the valley full of dry bones. Yes, we were there. You see, the vision of the valley of the dry bone was explained as a metaphor for Israel's return from captivity. As a matter of fact, if you read the scripture, God identified the dry bones as the house of Israel. So that vision is about the house of Israel returning, but they were crying out. He says, our bones are dried up. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. We are placed in the valley. Sometimes where our hope seems hopeless, where things that we want to be in, and we were cut off from those situations. We tried to reach out to something that we could, we think that we could get help, but we never get them. Sometimes we get into a valley where people betray us. I've gone through that. Sometimes we go through a situation where people that you think they are a friend, but they are not a friend. Sometimes we go through a situation that we can only move within a small capacity or space because we are like a bird in the cage. We live in that valley with the dry bones. Sometimes we go and we never expect things to happen in our lives, in our relationship, but it happens. The Spirit of the Lord is taking us to a place where we will be tested and crushed so that we will never be the same when we come out of it. How many of you know that the wine tastes better than the grapes? Somebody say amen. That the grapes get threshed and crushed and produces wine. The lemon and the lemon juice, isn't it? The lemonade. It's better to taste the lemonade, don't you think so? Than the lemon itself. Oh, brother, I cannot have sugar. My body is so sweet right now. This is what we go through in life, isn't it true? We get cut off. We turn, we go to a friend, and all of a sudden that friend turns away. We go through that. People would say all kinds of nasty things about the pastor like me that who has started a church that they said it will never grow. Never grow. How many of you know that is a lie? If you believe it's a lie, come on, give him praise and glory. You see, God was not on a popularity contest. Neither am I. We need to know what is needed to be said. People can say all kinds of nasty things, but the problem is what? We just believe what they say. And that's why you live with that. And you know what? You live with those words that you believe they have said. And it has passed 10 over years. And you still think they are right. They said something about you, and you believe so. You understand what I'm saying. And some of you don't even realize that you stayed with all these things that you have just kept it. And people said, you're not a good child. You're an abandoned child. And I never liked those words that some of you would love to say. He was picked up from the rubbish bin. You know why? Because you just destroyed the person's life. He just picked up from the rubbish bin. Sometimes worse still, you picked up from the zoo. God put us in the valley. And what is it for? You know, it is necessary for you to realize something in the valley. When the Spirit of God took Ezekiel into the valley, He wants Ezekiel to see the need. Did you see the need? Do you know that God placed you in this church to see the need? Somebody say amen. God placed you in this church not just to occupy the seats, but to see the need. Do you know that God placed you in a situation also for you to see your need? Somebody say amen. Because sometimes in your need, you don't even realize it. You need to be placed in that position. And then you begin to realize, oh God, I begin to know that there is so much need in my life. Everything was covered up. Everything was laid underneath. I didn't even see until I was placed in the valley. Until I was placed in the valley. Watch this, brothers and sisters. The valley can be a battleground. It can be a war zone area in the family. You know what? What was the need? The need is that a family is broken, impoverished by the battleground. What about drug addiction? People who live with drugs inflicted situation in his life or her life because they live in the valley of all kinds of drugs. And those of you who are raising up teenagers, I want you to be careful. You got to bring them back to the house of God. You got to bring them back to Jesus Christ. You got to bring them back to the Spirit of God. I want you to know this. Because without the Spirit of God, they will be hungry for something to satisfy their needs, their physical needs. And what do? Because of their situation, they cried out for drugs. You know, one of the things that I never understand is this. A lot of us love Facebook. Am I right? Maybe not all, some of us. And I noticed one of the Facebook is that people put the word light. How many of you know there are people who doesn't even read your article, they just put like? Some people don't even bother to watch the video, they just put like because there was something there. And then all of a sudden you have viewers that come around and say some has 1,000 over, some only have hundreds of viewers, some only got 20 or 30. And then those who are 20 or 30, they feel so depressed because they are in school, they are having a competition. Who has more viewers? What a deception. And you know what? At the end of the day, we live in that deception. Oh, poor thing, I don't have many likes. I only got 50 likes today. And they go in school, they're very shy to say they got only 50 likes because somebody boasted he got 1,000 over likes. And they start clipping, clicking, clicking for all the videos and all that. So send them, get more likes and more likes and more likes. And then at the end, when you go into the coffin, there were no attendance. I do not know where your likes are. You know what? You want them to have a liking? Come to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus go far beyond like. He loves you. Are you with me? When you get into this valley, there are many deceptions. And we live with those lies. And our bones get dried up. Some of us here, you may be just physically smiling, but inside here there is a dry bones. Broken relationships, pain. Underprivileged home has been despised by the society. A lot of attitudes that I see in the world today is causing more pain rather than help. Isn't it true? How many of you know that I'm getting somewhere right now? You see, the next part is this. Ezekiel saw the need, but he didn't stop there because the Lord spoke to him. What was that? Speak life into the dry bones. Somebody say amen. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I'll say to this nation, I'll say to the society, I'll say to the community, you live in dry bones, you must admit it. You don't deny it because you are going through those dry bones right now. But I said, hear the word of the Lord. If you're going through broken homes and broken families, broken relationships, somebody jilted you, somebody rejected you, listen. The word of the Lord says, prophesy the words. Speak the words unto the dry bones. Because Ezekiel's message is a message of deliverance. Somebody say amen. And that is the vision that we need to have. Yes, the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel. He was taken out by the Spirit of the Lord right into the middle of the valley. When he opened his eyes, he began to see around him. They were all dry bones. They were all dead bones. And the Lord say, speak the words of life into them. You see, society has speaking lies and death. Yes, I said it to you again. The media is projecting lies and death unto you. And you just got to stop. You just got to stop hearing all those words. Because those lies and death will kill. And the Bible tells me that the Lord told Ezekiel, speak up, prophesy the word of God. Look at the process, brothers and sisters. Look at the process. The word of the Lord was spoken and breath came. Somebody say amen. Breath came and it came to life. It is so true today that the church must learn to speak life into others. Speak to your children and say, don't ever say that you are a stupid numbskull, though he may be one. You said, son, I never agree what you have done. You correct him or her. And you never say that it's okay to say, oh, son, you're all right. You're fine when it is not fine. Because you just told him a lie. When you don't correct his wrongness, you are telling a lie. So when you correct him or her and you say, son, I don't agree. And I say to you, but you have all the capacity. You are able to do it. I know you can, but you did not see it. But I want to pray for you, son. And I want you to know you can rise up to be a man of God. You can rise up to do well because there's so much in you. Though you may not have done it yet, but I know you can. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Glory. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to speak live. When you come to a situation, you say, God, you are my strength. You are my helper. When I'm weak, you are there for me. Oh, you speak words of life. Somebody say amen. When you say, Lord, I come to you. You are my peace. You got my heart. You got my mind. And you will show me your truth, Lord. Oh, God, your truth will set me free. Though my husband may not stand beside me, though my wife may not stand beside me, I want you to know, speak words of life. He say, Father, you know my situation. You care for me. You work in my life. Change me, Lord, to be a better person. Oh, brothers and sisters, I do not know about you, but I want you to know, when you speak about life, something is happening. Something is happening. But I tell you honestly, I want you to learn to speak life into your hopeless situation. I want you to speak life into your negative relationship. I want you to speak life into the chronic and your sickly activity that is now happening. You know, I keep telling people, come back to the house of God. Come back to the house of God. Come back and listen. Yes, some people may not like the pastor who speaks words. One is one, two is two. It doesn't matter. Because I speak life to you and I want you to grow in life. How many of you today, whatever message you have, you know you have received a blessing. Somebody say amen. I challenge you with all my heart. Speak life into all the difficult, unmanageable, refractory background. You have a broken background? Speak life. God can change. How many of you know God is a miracle working God? Yes, only one get excited. Praise God. It's all right. The rest of you are just doing it because under duress. Don't complain. Because when you complain, you have spoken death into your framework of your family. Don't complain. Have great delight in helping your children. Have great delight. You see, when my kids were young, literally very young, when Sean was about, he was the firstborn and he was about 8 months old, we let him sleep in his own room. without fail every day. I will pray for him. Sometimes, most of the time, when he, you know, little kids always does things that, you know, things that you are not in favor of, right? So what do? I lay him on the bed, and I put him to sleep. And before he slept, I prayed. I say, Father, Sean has not behaved himself today. Sean has done all these things. Now, tell you honestly, Sean may not fully understand all that even at that age. But I'm just sowing seed something to him. I said, Lord, Sean has not done this. But I pray, Father, that you will minister to him. You will care for him because you are a good God. You care for him and you loved him. You will raise him up in the name of Jesus. Give him a good sleep. Give him a good rest, Lord, that he will learn to grow to be a changed person. Every day I will pray. Different words, different landscape of my words, and I will just pray and lay hand on him, and he will sleep. Whether he remembered or not, it doesn't matter. Because he was 8 months old, 1 year old, it doesn't matter. When I put him to sleep, I will pray every day without fail. Every day. The only time I don't pray is when I'm outstationed and my wife is in the house, and she will pray for him. Maybe pray for him, son, you better be a good boy or else daddy will cane you. Nah, I'm sure my wife wouldn't say that, all right? And the same thing follows with Brian, and when I put him to sleep, and I'll just pray for him, and the same thing, I'll just sow that seed into the kid's life. They may not grow to become a perfect kid when they're growing, but they will never give me any dangerous problem because the seed of life have been sown to them. Are you with me? You pray to sow the seeds of life. And some of us will probably think they are not important. I did that the same with my daughter. But my daughter was worse, actually. She wrestled with me. She fights with me. When she was sleeping by my side, and she would get up and pull me and wake me up and kick me. And no, I didn't lose my hair because of her. No, she didn't pull my hair. She was just pulling my shirt and trying to, you know, like any other child, any baby, any kids would just wake you up. Am I right or not? And I'll say, come on, go back to your bed. But when you start praying, yes, you may have your challenges with kids, but I can say one thing. When my kids grow up as a teenager, they have their challenges too. I'm not saying they don't have. They do have. In school, when you meet bullies, when you meet challenges, when you meet chronic teachers, you have challenges. You are not there. But as parents, when I hear there is an injustice, I will drive straight to the school. And I will confront the teacher because I'm a holy man. I was so tempted to do so many unholy things. When they did that to my son, I was just waiting. One time there was a young kid who was trying to, you know, terrorize Sean when he was just in school. And I went to the school and I saw that boy. I said, come here. I said, listen, this is my son. Will you do that one more time? Tell me who is your father. I want to see him. I'm not exaggerating. This holy man was making himself very tough on that day because he was talking to a small kid anyway. And the teacher one time, when he grew older, the teacher did something that was not right. I went straight to the school, and the teacher actually left the school when I went there. So I discovered that he wasn't there, so I drove back the next day and saw the headmaster, and I was told the teacher took leave on that day because he knew I was coming. That was interesting, isn't it? We need to speak life and stand up for life for your loved ones as well. I'm there to straighten things up. As far as I'm concerned, I want to straighten up with him and tell him exactly what he said so that in the future, no kids get threatened again. How many of you understand what I'm saying about? All right? So one is one, two is two. Somebody say, amen. Don't slander. Because when you slander, you have just spoken a very harmful, deleterious, and destructive life into the heart. If you start slandering, you will end up suffering. Speak good things and soundness into people's life. Speak effective words that help build people's life. It doesn't mean that you don't correct them. You have to correct them. You don't lie to them. When they are wrong, it's wrong. If you are wrong, you don't tell them, you are lying to them. So you make things right. And Ezekiel was called to speak words of life. But listen to this. This is a very powerful thing. The moment breath came in, tendons, muscles, everything was formed. Life began to take place. Somebody say amen. And then after the life took place, miracle happened after that. You see, if you look at Ezekiel 37, I want to close with this. Ezekiel 37, verse 10 to right up to verse 14. Verse 10 says about the breath entered them and it came to life. Look at verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves, bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Somebody say amen. You see, friend, there are two levels of prophecy here. The first level of prophecy, the prophecy was spoken by Ezekiel and life began to take shape. Somebody say amen. And the second level was this. When the word of the Lord came, he prophesied and Israel was restored back to their land. Deliverance and restoration began to take place. Somebody say, amen. You see, friend, listen to this. This is something you need to capture. God is saying this. If you want to see your things restored, if you want to see deliverance, how many of you know salvation is also deliverance? When you see deliverance begin to take place, if you want to see your family get saved and delivered, listen, speak life first. If you don't speak life, don't expect restoration. Don't expect deliverance. When you start to speak life, something begin to happen. If you are standing there and you look at yourself, there is this dry bones. Speak life into the dry bones. Then restoration, deliverance can take place. I want you to know, even the healing, even the miracle, even the signs and wonders is going to come upon your life when you start speaking life in the name of Jesus Christ. When you speak life begin to take place. Somebody say, amen. When you speak life unto the sickness, life begin to take place. God is a creative God. God can create what is there is nothing. God creates something when there seems to be nothing. Because God is a miracle working God. And he is a life giver. He said, I can give the life and life abundantly. So speak life if you want to experience life in Jesus' name. So brothers and sisters, be restored, be delivered, be set free. In your heart, in your mind, in the name of Jesus. How do you go about with that? Speak life today. Amen. If you believe that with all your heart, somebody say amen. Shout unto him. Come on, shout unto him. I'm finishing. Somebody say amen. I'm finishing. Israel's new life was dependent upon the power of God. It was not dependent upon the circumstances of the people. The Spirit of the Lord came and caused the people to obey. And then the Spirit of the Lord came again to take them to back to their promised land. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is here, has come upon your life to draw you into that obedience and to the submission to the Word of God. And when you are submitting yourself, the Lord come upon you and prepare you to take you back to the place where you once lost. There is a story in 1 Samuel 30, the story of David when he was with the Philistines and he was told to leave the group of Philistines while Philistines were fighting with Israelites. And he was told to go back to Ziklag. And when he went back to Ziklag, brothers and sisters, he discovered that his families and all the Israelites' families, wives, children, they were all kidnapped and taken away. Everything was in ruin in the camp. And the Bible says they were so embittered and they were weeping so hard. And at the same time, they were so angry with themselves and with David. The Bible says they wanted to stone him. And David went to a corner and just started seeking God. You know, he was praying so hard. He was seeking God with all his might. And the Bible says that before he sought God, he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. He strengthened with himself. That he began to realize that he need life. Life in the midst of the dry bones. Life in the midst of the bitterness. Life in the midst of disaster. He need life. So he encouraged himself. And then straight away he asked the priest Abiathar, bring the ephod. And when he brought the ephod, he began to seek God. He began to seek God. God, what shall I do? You see, when you have life, you begin to look unto the source of life. Somebody say amen. You begin to ask him, Lord, you are the giver of life. You are my shelter, my deliverer. What shall I do? And the Lord saying, go and pursue them. Pursue the Amalekites who have taken your families away. You see, brothers and sisters, the story went on to say that God opened up the opportunity. An Egyptian servant came over, and he was the one who served the Amalekites in their camp, and he was running away from them. And there, lo and behold, the Egyptian was famished, needed food, and David provided him food. And he was so afraid that David would kill him, but yet David assured him that I will not kill you, but just bring me to where the Amalekite camp was. And so he went. Brothers and sisters, the story went through that they delivered the people of their own people, the family were all there, taking them back, destroyed the Amalekites. Only 400 people survived, riding camels and rode away. But then they got back their people. No one died. Brothers and sisters, we want to take back what the enemy has stolen. Somebody say amen. We want to take back what the enemy has stolen. You see, you will only get back this restoration only when you start speaking life. Somebody say amen. If there is life in you, there is possibility for restoration. If there is life in you, there is a possibility for deliverance. You know what I mean? Somebody would probably say, I went through so much difficulty. Brothers and sisters, every one of us have gone through difficulties. Don't ever say you alone. Every one of you here have gone through difficulties. And we are not here to compare whose difficulty is more intense. Everyone has. But I do know one thing. When I start speaking life, then I'm encouraged. And when I'm encouraged, I move on. I am set free. I am delivered. My life gets better. Somebody say amen. My life gets better. Beautiful. And I would just stand before God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, when you start looking unto the Lord and start speaking words of life into your heart, then you are in the position where you can abound. But you can't abound when you don't have life. But when life is spoken, abounding becomes possible. Are you there? Amen. Are you ready for God to just touch you and speak life? Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.